1 John 4, verse 7, as you turn there, we're going to go ahead and jump into this and then we'll pray. It says this, "Dear friends, let us love one another, because love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Love consists in this, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Dear friends, if God loves us in this way, we also must love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God remains in us and his love is perfected in us. This is how we know that we remain in him and he in us. He has given assurance to us from his Spirit. And we have seen and we testify that the Father has sent his son as the world's Savior. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him and he in God, and we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And the one who remains in love remains in God and God remains in him. In this, love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. For we are as he is in the world. There is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear because fear involves punishment. So the one who fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For the person who does not love his brother he has seen cannot love God, the God he has not seen. And we have this command from him. The one who loves God must also love his brother. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Messiah has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father also loves the one born of him. Speaking of our brothers. This is how we know we love God's children, when we love God and obey his commands. For this is what love for God is, to keep his commands. Now his commands are not a burden. Let's pray. Lord, as we finish out this passage this week, I pray that you will speak to our hearts, Lord. Holy Spirit, that you will speak through your word today, convict us, change us, direct us. Lord, I know there's so much more here that we haven't even touched on. But as we get to this last part, Lord, help us to be challenged, to actually start to apply and take action with what we've been challenged with, Lord. Lord, I pray that you will be known today. I pray that you will be revealed today. I pray that you'll be glorified today. Guide us through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've been walking through this acrostic for love. We've done the L, the Lord's love for you in part one, the O, our love for other believers in part two. Part three was a visible expression of God's love to this world that we are called to be. That was last week. And then this week is E. It is this. Everyone. That's who we are commanded to love. Everyone, that's who we are commanded to love. I want to walk through two passages just to kind of reveal this within this passage. No, these words aren't exactly spelled out here, but when you break down what is said here in this passage, then you can get the fact that God is calling us to love more than our Christian brothers and sisters, but we are called to love, show Christ's love to the world, so we are called to love everyone. Verse 14 says this, and we have seen, so we have seen and testify, we personally know this to be true, that the Father has sent his Son as the world's Savior. as the world's Savior. Jesus Christ came to save everyone. Will everyone be saved? No. But his salvation is available for everyone. Now, going over to verses 2 and 3 of chapter 5, it says this. This is how we know we love God's children, when we love God and obey his commands. See the S on there? Commands, not command. Okay, going on. For this is what love for God is, to keep his commands. Okay, plural, more than one. Now his commands, multiples, are not a burden. We are commanded throughout Scripture to love. Not only love other believers, not only to show God's love to the world, but to love everyone. That is a command within Scripture. Let me show you the breakdown or this connection between obedience and love that we have throughout Scripture. It's not just here in 1 John 5, 2, and 3. And so as it says, if we love God, we're to obey his commands, multiples, all his commands. It says this throughout Scripture, and I want to take you through these. John 14, 15, Jesus says this, if you love me, you will keep my commands. He connects obedience to love. If you love me, you will obey my commands, or you will keep my commands. Deuteronomy 11, 1 says this, therefore, love the Lord your God and always keep his mandates and his statutes, ordinances, and commands. Okay? So we have all this listed connected to a love for God. And it says, always keep his mandates, his statutes, his ordinances, and his commands. Deuteronomy 11, 1. Going on to Ephesians 1 through 2, it says this, therefore, be imitators of God. We're supposed to imitate God as dearly loved children, knowing that we are loved. We are his loved children. It says this, and walk in love as the Messiah also loved us and gave himself for us a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. We are to imitate God. God is what? God is holy. That means that we should not pursue things that are not holy in our lives. We should be pursuing to follow God, to imitate him, to walk in love as the Messiah also walked in love. And so that's the example we have there. We'll get to more examples a little bit later. Romans 13, 8 through 10 says this, do not owe anyone anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. So we talk about loving another as fulfillment of the law here. And it says in verse 9, the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandments, all are summed up by this. The sum of these commandments of how we're supposed to treat each other is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. Obedience to the commands that we were told here in 1 John that we are called to command is to love our neighbor, to love others, to love everyone, is to follow the command. Love fulfills God's commands. Because God is love, we actually owe love to other people. And here's why I say that. Romans 13, 8 right there starts out this way. Do not owe anyone anything except to love one another. We owe love to other people. not because they deserve it, but because God has called us to love other people. God deserves it. He deserves for us to love other people because of who he is. We live in an age of sports for kids that is kind of a, everybody gets an award. Everyone deserves an award society. And it started when I was a kid. I mean, when I was a kid, I remember getting lots of participation awards, a lot of those P awards you get, the ribbon for like making a car in the Pinewood Derby, and you'd get one of those and you'd be like, yeah, I got a ribbon, I participated. And then I remember getting a little ceramic ball. And I'm not sure why you give a 9-year-old a ceramic ball, but this little ceramic ball that said part of Croft Metals baseball team, and I received this award for being part of something. But I didn't really deserve any of those awards. But we kind of live in a society where you're kind of like, hey, everybody deserves something, so let's give everybody an award type thing. And a lot of us go, that's dumb. Why are we doing that? Why are we living that way? We would rather have like only the best get like a trophy or something like that. Like my brother was like really good as a kid at sports, and he got chose for the All-Star team, and he had all these trophies and stuff like that. And I played baseball, and I watched the All-Star team, but I wasn't on the All-Star team, so I got a participation award, and he got a medal for actually being good, and so his was actually like a medal, mine was something that broke, so ceramic, like give the loser ceramic and give the awesome kid medal. I don't know. And so we had this in life, and my brother also was like first chair in the band. He was amazing trombone player. I was in a band. I'm not sure they wanted me in the band. I think the band director was probably like, Rick, could you please drop this because you're distracting me constantly. They put me on the bass drum. That's where you put percussion players that have like little rhythm, but I actually had pretty good rhythm. And so I kept that, but, so I was not ever first chair anything. I didn't actually strive to be first chair anything. I just wanted to participate. You know, like, I'm here, yay. And so that's how I was. And in life, I did not get those things, those medals and that first chair, because I didn't try to get those things. I didn't apply myself. And I'm okay that I didn't get the medals and the first chair things because I didn't apply myself. My brother growing up, David, he always dominated me in games, and he never let me win anything, ever. Like Monopoly, Risk, which I hated those games, so that was like one time we played, and I was done after that. But like basketball, ping pong, all these things, we played constantly. We're 2 years apart, and he would beat me in everything. And I was okay that he never let me win. We live in a society that we think people have to want to earn things, or we think everybody should earn everything, though. And I'm okay with that when it comes to sports. And I'm supportive of that when it comes to sports. And many people are, many people aren't, whatever, wherever you stand on that. But here's what I'm talking about here. And you'll get the connection. When it comes to sports, I would rather have somebody earn it. And I would rather, as a kid, I have earned it instead of receiving a participation award. When it comes to love, do I treat it the same way? Do I want other people to earn my love before I give it to them? Do I treat the people around me and go, you know what, I like the idea, you know, you're kind of wanting me to give you a participation award just for being alive, so you, is that what you're wanting here? You just want me to throw out love here? No, that's what God wants us to do. That's what God has called us to do. And so we many times go the opposite way, and we're like, we want to give people participation awards for sports like that, but we don't want to give anybody anything in life unless they earn it after childhood. And so we actually look at people and go, you need to earn my love before I give you love. But God here is saying in Romans that, you know what? You owe them love because of what I did for you. That's why you owe them love. It's not about them earning the love from you. It's about you giving the love because of this. 1 John 4:19. We've read it over and over and over. 1 John 4:19 says this: we love because, what's the blank? He first loved us. We love because he first loved us. It's not we love because they earned my love. We love because they're nice to me. We love because I'm going to get something back from this. We love because he being God, first loved us. And so if you're looking for an action needed, don't look at the person next to you and go, I know God's called me to love you, but I'm actually living in the society where I don't want to just hand out things. I don't want to hand out a participation award just because you're breathing and love you. I want you to earn it. Then just look past that and go, I didn't deserve it, God. You gave me love when I didn't deserve it. You know why I'm going to love? It's because of you. It's not because of them. It's because of you. And so now I love because you first loved me. That's why I'm handing out love to everyone, because of you, not just because they're breathing, but because of you, Jesus. And so that's a challenge. We are called to love everyone. 2 John 1:6, we touched on this last week as we closed, says this: and this is love, that we walk according to his commands. This is the command, as you have heard it from the beginning: you must walk in love. We touched on that last week, but this is the command: we have to walk in love. But this is an action thing. It's not just a let's get together and let's talk about it thing. It's not just, hey, Rick, could you tell me a little bit more about that I need to love someone type thing. You see, as a kid, I've told you before that I was, as a kid, dyslexic. I'm still dyslexic. I still struggle through things. I still read words and I get stumped. And so if I'm reading along in the Bible and I come to a word and you see me do this, I'm not deep in thought. I'm deep in like dyslexia and just trying to figure out what in the world that says at that moment, because it is driving me crazy as I'm trying to break it down and like count it out. I'm like, the word is house, one syllable, house, one syllable, right? House, you know? And so I'm trying to break down the syllables in my mind going, okay, what is that word? But the reality is this: when I was growing up, I loathed, that's a deep enough word, despised books. I know. I could not read them. And so they looked really cool. They looked really nice. I liked to have them next to my bed because it made me look super smart and stuff like that. But I was not a good reader. And so when it came to class time, I really did not like to take classes where I had to read all the time. Anybody else not like those classes? Me. My favorite English class I ever took was short stories. Not because the stories were short, but because they were all audio. Everything we read was audio in there. And we didn't even read. We just listened to like Edgar Allan Poe and all these other things. I was like, this is a great class. I just get to hear them. It's pretty sweet. So I was excited about that. But as a teenager, what I really liked was hands-on action. Okay, when I got to actually go into a class and build something, that was awesome. Woodworking, yep, sign me up. Technology class, yep, sign me up. What can I blow up? What can I do? What can I build? Let's do that. Welding, yep, sign me up. I'm in welding. Okay, what else? Body shop, yep, I took body shop. Auto mechanics, yep, first part of the semester. It was book, all book. And then like, hey, let's go in the cars. And it's like, oh, Rick's alive, let's go. And so I went out and I started working on cars. And so that was a lot of fun, all those hands-on things. And for me, that applies to our Christian faith. I don't want to just sit here and read the book. This is God's word, yes. Absolutely God's word. If you want to hear from God today and you say, God, speak to me, open God's word and read it. But this is not meant just to be heard. This is meant to be lived out, taken action in. And so here's the challenge. As we are challenged to love, how do we take action in that love? Here's how God took action. 1 John 4:9-11 says this. Here's how God took action. God's love was revealed, shown, taken action in among us in this way. God sent his one and only son into the world. So he took action in it. Jesus entered this world. We've read this each week. So that we may live through him. Verse 11. Love consists in this, not that we love God, but that he loved us. And so his love took action. He did not wait for us to deserve love. He did not wait for us to love him back. It took action before that. And he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins, to take the punishment due us. Dear friends, if God loves us in this way, we must love one another. We must also love one another. Do we see that? So God's love in verse 11, it says this as it begins. God's love, as it says, dear friends, if God loved us in this way, so God's love propels us. He presents God's love in a certain way, and then he does this. He goes from God's love in this way. He says God's love commands us. And then he says this, we must love one another. Here's the example, God's love. Here's the command, love one another. Not only does God set the example, not only does God command us to, then God enables us to. And we talked about that in week one as we read verse 7, as it says this, love is from God in verse 7. 1 John 3:8, going back just a chapter from what we've been studying this entire time, says this. Verse 18. 1 John 3:18 says this. Little children, we must not love with words or speech, but with truth and action. We must take action in this love. James puts it this way. James 2:14-17 says this. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works? Can his faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothes and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, eat well, but you don't give them what the body needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith, if it doesn't have works, is dead by itself. Faith, works, word, action. We are called to take action in this, not just to talk about love. So let me give you some action points, guys. We're going to go through three different groups we are called to love and action points in love, okay? So we've gone through 1 John 4:20-21. As far as if you say you love God, you hate your brother, then you're a liar. That whole spot, okay? We talked about that already. And so 1 John 4:20-21 lays out, we are to love our brothers. So I know that to be true. Now, what are the actions I need to take in loving my brother? Turn over with me, if you would, to Romans 12. Romans 12, and it's not going to be on the overhead behind me. I gave Rachel the wrong verse, and so I caught it before I went up. Romans 12, so I invite you to turn there so you can get these action points that you can underline, write down, whatever it may be. And we're going to read verses 9-16, actually. I believe I edited it to say 17 or 18, but we're going to read 9-16. So 9-16. Here's some action points in our love for our brothers. Love must be without hypocrisy. Okay? So don't just talk about it. Do it. Starting there. Let's do these things that we're called to do here. Okay? Detest evil. Cling to what is good. We're going to get back to that verse in a little while. Detest evil, cling to what is good. So we're supposed to pursue good here, okay? Show family affection, okay? So here's one. With our brothers and sisters, we are called to do what? Show family affection. How do we show family affection? How do you treat your family? How do you care for your family, those who live within your household? That's the same call we are to have within the church body, a family affection. One real way we try to show family affection is diaper drives and things like that that we do for people in the church, is show that family love that we have for each other. And so as we have needs and as we see needs and as we are going through things, we not only pray for each other, we try to meet those needs, family affection. Going on after the family affection, it says one to another with brotherly love. And then it says this, outdo one another in showing your honor. Do you remember doing that with a sibling? No. Like me and my brother never sat in the back and we're like, of the car and we're like arguing about who's better at something. Like, no, David, you're better. No, Rick, you're better. No, David. No, stop. No, you're the best, David. No, Rick, no. You far surpass how I am. Oh, no. Well, it goes like this. It goes, Rick, everybody's under me. But Rick, and then David, you're way, way over there. I can't even reach your potential. We never did that. Anybody, no one's done that with their sibling, ever. Well, I don't think so. If you have, then you prove me wrong, I guess. But this idea of with each other, we are called to outdo each other as far as showing honor for each other. What a strange concept that is. Because that involves me humbling myself and looking at someone else and going, man, that's amazing that you can do that. Caring about them in that way. And this is not done to give someone a giant head, but to encourage them. And so if they look at themselves afterwards and go, yeah, you're right. I am pretty great. We're missing the point here. So if someone encourages you, you can take that humbly as well, but we're called to show honor to each other. Going on. Do not lack diligence. We're supposed to be diligent in these things. Fervent. I had to actually look up what fervent meant. I knew the word, but it means this. Showing passionate enthusiasm. Showing passionate enthusiasm. We're called to be enthusiastic about being with each other. Passionate about each other. It says in the Spirit. And then it says this. Serve the Lord. So in all these things, in showing honor to each other, in doing this in diligence, in doing this in being fervent about it, passionate and enthusiastic, we're called to do this in serving the Lord. So how are you serving the Lord within this family? Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Patience in affliction. That's hard. When things aren't going as we planned. Going on, persistent in prayer. Continuing to pray and pray and pray for each other. Persistence in that. And it says there, share with the saints in their needs. So meeting each other's needs. And then it says this, pursue hospitality. Pursue having someone into your home for a meal or to hang out. Pursue that. Bless those who persecute you. Well, that's the opposite of what I want to do. Bless, do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. And so in order to rejoice with each other, we have to know what's going on in each other's life. And so we need to communicate better so we can rejoice with each other. Weep with those who weep. Same concept. To know what's going on so we can share and weep with each other. Be in agreement with one another. Even when it's not coming to sports. I'm not going to start rooting for Purdue all the time, just today. Be in agreement with one another. Do not be proud. Instead, associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own estimation. There is so many things there that I fall short of. So many challenges that I look at that and I go, man, I can do a better job loving my brother, loving my sister in the Lord right here. And so now it's not just, okay, Rick, that's nice. Okay, moving on. What's for lunch? It's, I got to start doing this. How today can I do one of these things? How can I start to apply it? Don't just read it, but take action in it. Going on. What about my neighbors? I am called to love my neighbors throughout Scripture. Luke gives us an example of a neighbor talking about the Good Samaritan. In Luke 10, invite you to turn there. I'm not going to read through the whole story. It's a very familiar passage to many of us. And so if you have never heard this story, I will give you a kind of a summation of it, if you will. But I want to read a few verses leading into it and a few verses after it. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 29. We're going to start there. It says this. Just then an expert of the law stood up and tested him being Jesus, saying, Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He asked him, How do you read it? He answered, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all of your strength, and with all of your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Verse 28. You've answered correctly, he told him. Do this, and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked, Jesus, and who is my neighbor? You say, it was interesting as I was restudying through this passage this morning. I wonder if we do the same thing that this guy did. He wanted to justify his answer to God. He knew exactly, you know, he's talking to Jesus here. And he's talking about loving God with everything he has and loving his neighbor as himself. And he knew, and I know just how far short I fall of that. And so in order to justify myself, I may go, well, I loved this person. And so it's like the teacher here, the expert, as it says in the law, wanted to justify himself. So he goes, well, Jesus, who's my neighbor then? Wanting to know if it's just like just other Jews or just the person next door. Who's the neighbor? And so Jesus goes on and tells a story of a man who was probably Jewish. It doesn't say he was Jewish, but it says he was from Jerusalem, heading down to Jericho, and he gets mugged. He gets taken out by thieves. And there's three people that pass by. First of all, there is a priest that passes by in verse 31. There is a Levite that passes by in verse 32. And then in verse 33, there is a Samaritan that passes by and saw the man. The Samaritan had compassion on him. He had so much compassion on him that he didn't look at him and go, oh, a guy who's hurt, I hope he feels better. Let me pray for him and pass on. No, he took action. He went over to the guy. He gave up his own donkey. He gave up his own money to care for the guy who actually would have considered him, if he was a Jew, to be despised. He wouldn't have cared about him at all because they were seen as less than them. And so this example here is set by Jesus in a story. We don't know if this is a true story that happened. We just know that Jesus told this story to him. Verse 36 picks back up after giving the innkeeper money in verse 35 and saying, I will come back and I will actually cover any expense in the future for this man. It says this. Jesus asked the guy, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor? Found that interesting wording. Which one proved to be the neighbor of this man? And it says, to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers. And the expert of the law said this, the one who showed mercy to him, he said. Then Jesus told him, go and do the same. If we are to love our neighbors the way we are called to love our neighbors, then we have to take this example and say this. I need to watch for needs. Not just pass by, not just walk by, not just wave by, but I need to watch for needs. And when I see those needs, I not only need to pray for those needs, but I must not stop at praying for those needs and hope someone else will meet those needs. I must take action in that and help meet the needs myself. Even to the point where I have to sacrifice. We're called to do the same. To show mercy, to show God's love to our neighbors. And then lastly, the most challenging for us all, enemies. God calls us to love our enemies. Man, that stinks. He could have just stopped at neighbors. I mean, brothers, sisters, neighbors, good. Enemies? Are you serious, God? But that's exactly the example that Jesus set. We ourselves were enemies of God, living within our sinful ways, denying him as Lord of our lives. And he came and died for those enemies, us. Matthew 5, 43 through 48. You have heard that it is said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward will you have? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing out of the ordinary? Don't even Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. You see, in Romans 12, 9, we were called to detest evil and cling to what is good. So while we're loving our enemies, it does not mean that we are loving the sin. That sin is actually what separates them from God. And so we should still detest sin, hate evil. But just because they are living in a way that is opposite of what we are called to live as believers, does not mean that we hate them. We may hate the sin. And you've heard that, love the sinner, hate the sin saying. It's really simple to kind of simplify it that way. But the reality is, how many of us do that? We should hate all sin. Sin that separates man from God. And so our call is to love our neighbor, to love our enemy, to love those around us in view of what we have spelled out there for us in 1 John. We love because he loved us. And so take the sin away. View them not as the person who's hurting you, but view them as someone that God loved. And he came to save them out of that, just like he came and saved us out of that. There's some examples. If you follow through 17 through 21 in Romans 12, of examples of how to love someone who is an enemy maybe. And so it says in Romans 12, 17 through 21, actually, I only have 18 through 21 on there, but let me read you 17. It says this, do not repay evil for evil. Do what is honorable to in everyone's eyes. And then we pick up there in verse 18, if possible, on your part, live at peace. And so we have this, don't pay evil for evil. Do what is honorable. Live at peace. And it goes on, and it says, with everyone. Friends, do not avenge yourself. So no avenging yourself. Instead, leave room for his wrath, speaking God's wrath. Leave it in God's hands. Give it to God. For it is written, vengeance belongs to me. I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For in doing so, you will be heaping fiery coals on his head. Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil for good. Sometimes we read that verse and we go, I'm going to get him back. I'm going to love him. I'm going to love him so much that it's like throwing coals at their head. That's not the idea here. That's not the heart here. The heart here is, man, I want to love them because God loves them. He hates their sin so much that he came and he died for them, took the penalty due to them, just like he did me. And so I'm going to love them because of God, not because they deserve it. I'm going to close with this verse, one last verse. If you're looking at those examples of action and you think to yourself, how will I ever apply this? James 1:5. Go ahead and skip to James 1:5. It should be the last one on there. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously without criticizing, and it will be given to him. If you're not sure how to apply this, if you're not sure how to take action in this, go to God. Pray for wisdom. He's not going to criticize you. He's going to help you through this. And so turn to him. Jesus, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you so much that we can gather as a church family to learn from it. I know there was a lot here today in these passages that we read and a lot of application. Well, Lord, I pray that you'll help us through these, that you'll help us to learn how to view people through your eyes. And Lord, to actually put to practice your word, Lord. As you say, we love because you first loved us or he first loved us. Help us to view those around us with that in mind, to love because of your love and to be propelled for that, with that, by that. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.